We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hour number 3, Dale and Keith. Sports Radio WEEI. If you missed the beginning of the program today, and we're sorry you weren't here for that.
Yeah, where were you?
Let's just say that little Richie Keefe was a little upset with Kyrie Irving.
And I should be. I should be upset with Kyrie Irving. Had a hell of a game, an incredible game. They beat the Raptors, best team in the NBA, at least the best record. Kawhi Leonard's there. Kyle Lowry's there. It's a great team. They're at home. The Celtics have a 3-game losing streak, and they beat them. And Kyrie Irving with some incredible shots. You heard one of the deep ones there in the intro coming in. He was fantastic, knocking down all kinds of shots. Like, hey, wait a minute, huge win, big win for the Celtics. Kyrie Irving looks like a top 10 guy, looks like an all-NBA player.
And then he says this.
I had to call Bron, you know, and tell him, like, you know, I apologize for being that young player that wanted to everything at his, you know, at his fingertips, and I wanted everything
enough, Shime.
Well, no, I'll tell you why we have to finish, because I'm going to tell you what some of the other reaction is.
This is obnoxious, though.
You know, my threshold, I wanted to be the guy that led us to championship. I wanted to be the leader. I wanted to be all that. And, you know, the responsibility of being the best player in the world and leading a team is something that's not meant for many people. And Bron was one of those guys that came to Cleveland and tried to really show us what it's like to win a championship. And it was hard for him. And sometimes getting the most out of the group, it's not the easiest thing in the world. And like I said, only few are meant for it or chosen for it. And, you know, I feel like the best person to call was him because, you know, he's been in this situation. You know, he's been there with me where
okay,
I've been
now,
the young guy.
Judges,
you know,
please,
being
we had to get
this
to
guy
there.
Up. Here's why.
Shut him up.
Here's what a couple of people have tweeted about this in the last little bit.
Well, there's
Jeff
a lot to say.
Jeff Goodman, superb basketball
yes.
reporter.
Love Jeff Goodman.
He writes, quote, here's what Kyrie did last night. After arguably the most important regular season win of the season for the Celtics, he made the story about him
yeah,
instead
sure
of about victory.
He sure did.
Bill Simmons tweeted out, agree with Tom E. Curran. And
yeah, because let me read Tom's real
ahead.
Quick. So
yeah.
Tom E. Curran just linked to an article, and he said, love Kyrie, hope he's here for a long time. I don't even mind trials of the season. Fascinating to watch them figure it out. But message of call was, in essence, now that I'm dealing with a bunch of selfish 22-year-olds, sorry I was a dink. Tom says, why even share that? And then Simmons
and
followed
Bill
up.
Bill Simmons writes, agree with Tom E. Curran. Kyrie's latest story about calling LeBron was a fancy way of saying publicly that he's playing with some young, immature bleepheads
right.
who reminded him of his former self. Whether it was intentional or inadvertent, I don't know, but he should really stop talking.
He's still ripping the guys on his team. He still is.
Exactly. I was that guy, too, and I had to apologize for what I was.
And the worst part for me, and I think I'm not alone in this, and I don't even care if I am, but what separated Kyrie came in here. Celtics fans can't stand LeBron because, you know, they really ended the Pierce, Garnett, Allen trio. They ended that, and they could have won more if it wasn't for LeBron and all this other stuff. And he left. He wanted out from LeBron, and I love that about him. He's a great player. He's in his prime. There's so many things. He's so fun to watch. But on top of it, he's one of the few guys in the league, or so I thought, who didn't like LeBron James and kiss his ass. In fact, he wanted to get away from him. Now he's calling Bron and apologizing to him.
I had to call Bron.
No, you didn't have to. You didn't have to do anything. You didn't have to call Bron. That makes me sick to my stomach. And Kyrie Irving was my favorite player. In fact, on the Celtics favorite players for Rich Keefe power rankings, second all time behind Paul Pierce. That's hard to do. Now bumped way down. Might be my least favorite player of the entire team.
Now
right
he's
now.
Behind Bradley Wanamaker.
Brad Wanamaker is ahead of him on the current roster, as is everyone else. So that makes me sick to my stomach. But those guys, Curran, Simmons, Jeff Goodman, they bring up. I was so distracted by the Bron thing, I couldn't even think straight. But those guys bring up a good point. Like, are you really changing, or are you A, still making it very much about yourself, and B, pretty much still ripping Jaylen Brown and Tatum, specifically Brown, I think, Rozier. You're still ripping the young guys. You're basically saying,
I used to be a jerk, too.
What a loser I was.
I've apologized for when I acted like that.
That's what I'm dealing with now is all these guys. You can't win with these guys. This is obnoxious. And then he's just saying how, you know, not a lot of guys can be the man and, you know, I'm the man and all this stuff. It's like, come on. Because there were definitely, and I tried to ignore it, but there were definitely times where some of the things he would say after games, and not just after the Orlando Magic game recently, but even previous, where I heard people say, oh, he sounds a little bit like LeBron. And I was telling myself, no. He is not LeBron. He is bizarro LeBron. Turns out, nope, I apologize. Apologized to LeBron James. If that doesn't make you sick, I don't know what else to tell you.
I had to call Bron.
Didn't have to call
I don't have
Bron.
Quite the,
don't call Bron. Lose his number.
I don't hate Bron as much as you do.
Dale, you should.
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, no one does.
Maybe not.
You know, let's be
Maybe
honest.
Not.
You're kind of
on another
you've taken it to another level.
On another level. So, it's fine. It's a me thing.
And,
I understand.
And as I also pointed out to you earlier, players in the NBA don't hate him either.
They love him. That's why he was different.
Yes.
Pierce Garnett and Rondo, they weren't fans. Now, I know Rondo is now teammates with him, and so that they've moved on. But when they were, when it was Celtics-Cavs for a moment there, and then Celtics-Heat, there was a nice rivalry, and they weren't buddy-buddy. But the whole NBA is buddy-buddy now. The whole thing. Kevin Durant loves LeBron. Who knows? They may play together next year. They're all best buds, and I don't like it. I don't. And I'm not one of these old school, like the guys who played in the 90s. I've never been one of the, you just play for the team that drafted you. Don't team up. I'm okay if you team up, but team up with your friends and then hate the other group of friends. Don't team up with your friends and then still be friends with those guys, and then we're all friends, and whoever wins is fine because we're all best buds.
Because as you pointed out, at the time that Kyrie Irving called LeBron James, he was out having wine and pizza with Kevin Love.
I'm like, what are you doing? Kevin Love, you're still in Cleveland. They're a disaster. They're the worst team in the league. And you're like, yeah, after the game, I'll go have wine with LeBron. It's like LeBron, I'm sure he was behind the scenes kind of annoying to Kyrie, hence why Kyrie wanted to leave. But he would always have these weird subtweets or Instagram posts that were direct shots at Kevin Love. Hey, you're either in or you're out. And then some quote. And you're like, he's talking about you, Kevin Love. And Love's like, yeah, that's fine. I don't really care. I've made a lot of money in this league. I'll go hang out with LeBron. Like, don't hang out with LeBron.
So now all of a sudden, the whole Earth is flat thing is making more sense to you, isn't it?
Yeah, probably. He's an idiot.
He probably does believe it.
He probably does. You're an idiot. Get on a plane once. Find out your... what a swing. I've never had a guy that I like so much and then just gone. Like, it just doesn't happen. And this is it. Kyrie Irving, I'm telling you, there's no way fans hear that and are like, oh, good stuff. And no matter what angle you want, because you can even say, maybe you don't dislike LeBron like I do. I don't understand it, but that's fine. Maybe you don't.
No one does.
But the other stuff is definitely true. Like, so what is it? You've made up to Jaylen Brown and all those guys? You just beat the Raptors, and it was a great game.
And you played great.
He played great. He wasn't the only one who played great, but he did. You can't take that away from him. He played great. But then it's all about him, and it's still... Hey, guy, like he's basically admitting, I'm not going to talk about it to the media anymore. Although, yeah, right. let's see how long that lasts. But he's not going to criticize Jaylen Brown and the young guys anymore.
Here's the
but
other
he still
thing.
Thinks they're idiots.
Like, I don't even have a problem with him calling LeBron like you do.
Oof.
Okay, that's fine.
Sure.
You don't have to tell us.
Great point.
Why do we need to know that you called LeBron?
Because it's
about you now.
It is. It is the Kyrie Irving show.
I mean, you could have made your call to LeBron. You guys could have made nice with each other.
Yes.
You could go drink wine with him the next time the Celtics play the Lakers. You could do all that.
Could have been a story 10 years from now and be like, you know what? Actually, in 2019, believe it or not, I called LeBron. Everybody like, what? Was that the turning point for the season? Like, and now... Like, on the court, how do they follow this up? Because I was not alone. I felt pretty good after the Pacers win. I said, look at this win. That's a really good team. They're ahead of you in the standings, and you pasted them. Then you lose three in a row. You lose three straight games. Guys are pushing each other. Kyrie's having a fit, yelling at Gordon Hayward, talking about how, you know, guys got to play better. Then Jaylen Brown is saying, hey, you got to lead from the top. It's going to start from the top and quit pointing fingers. It was a direct, but it was So Kyrie was talking about Jaylen Brown, never said his name. Jaylen Brown was talking about Kyrie Irving, never said his name. And then now you have, he finally did admit, he's like, oh, JB, like I won't do that again. They're still not fixed. Like, it was a nice win over the Raptors, but they still have issues.
Oh, you felt good about it until after.
Correct.
And then as soon as you heard that after, you went, oh, no, now they're back to square one again.
Yep, I am. I am. And, all right, good. A nice home win. Home win against Toronto. They had a home win against Indiana. Guess what? Right now, you're not going to have home court in the first round, let alone throughout or the first two rounds. So they still have their work cut out for them. Like, on the court, hey, a win is a win. Over Toronto, it's a great win. But this stuff, they are obnoxious. They are not a likable team, which is bizarre. Like, because after last year's run, oh, my God, I thought everybody was going to love this team. And it's that has not been there
now
for me.
Now you hate them.
Give me Brad Wanamaker. Let him start.
Bradley Wanamaker.
Yeah, nice player.
Can you get a Wanamaker jersey?
It might have to be a build your own.
You might have to be.
I think I might have to go to the website.
Yeah, like build a bear.
Yeah.
Go to build a bear to make your own.
Oh, God.
It's a big arched name because there's so many letters in it.
Yes. Like, is that even his number? Like, I don't know. Just slap one
just
on there.
No idea. We don't even care.
No need to check the time as it's.
We have noon 30.
Noon 30.
It's noon 30.
It's going to be the Wild West at noon 30. Dale's already warmed up to noon 30.
No, I haven't.
You just said noon 30.
Call that's you what you called it for crying.
It's noon 30 with Dale and Keith.
Yes, the answer is the cliff has arrived.
Oh, boy.
And I do not believe Grady will be a great quarterback this year. And if he is, he will have proved me wrong. And by the way, every day he is a great quarterback this year, he is resetting the record book.
So that was Max. Max Kellerman, who has got a habit on First Take of proclaiming that the Brady cliff is here. And then he has to put it off until another year, and then he has to put it off until another year. And, of course, you've heard Max on many occasions. So today on First Take, you had Stephen A., and you had Max, and you had Molly.
Sure.
And you had Teddy Bruschi.
Oh, boy.
And Teddy Bruschi has been on this program on a number of occasions.
Oh, of course he has. He had the great reaction to Stephen A. talking about Derek Johnson and all those guys. Hunter Henry.
Weren't on the team.
That was hilarious.
And he's sort of looking like, what the like, hell is he talking about?
These guys aren't on the team.
So Teddy had some words of wisdom for Max.
I don't want to tell Max to stick to boxing or anything like that because, I mean, you got a job to do, Max, and I understand you got to talk about what you see. I just think you're struggling at your job a little bit.
Struggling at his job just a little bit. I think that's fair.
I wanted that to go further.
I think that's fair because he's been so dug in on the Brady stuff. Not to mention, yesterday before the Celtics-Raptors game, remember we played the cut, he said that Kyrie Irving is not a five-star player.
Yes,
and then Kyrie goes out there and beats the Raptors the way that he did. But he's been so dug in on the Tom Brady stuff that I think now it doesn't even matter what Brady does. Like, whether he's watching the games or not, I assume he is, but you never know. I think he's just going to find a way. Like, he tried taking away from the Chargers' performance. Remember, he said, oh, all it is, like, oh, those guys were, what were they doing? Terrible defense. You're like, well, part of that was he carved them up. Like, he shredded them.
Totally. Although,
and he gave
his
no credit
point, I guess, is that anybody could have done what he did and would have done what he did.
Yeah, but those arguments are also so anybody would make eight straight conference championships or anybody would take this team. And it's weird because you can't really have it both ways. Whereas so many guys, Max and others, look at the Patriots roster, 1 through 53, and say not as talented as the Chiefs, not as talented as the Chargers, not as talented as maybe even the Texans, just not as talented. Well, if they keep winning, what's going on there? And we all know the quarterback is so important, so doesn't he have to get credit? Like for wins. And even if he didn't throw 50 touchdowns or he didn't throw for 5,000 yards or if he didn't do, you know, his quarterback rating was lower than a bunch of guys this year, they're still playing in the conference championship with him and with what a lot of people are describing as not great talent around him. So how can that all make sense unless he's playing well?
While we somewhat mocked Tom Brady for his post-game comments. You know, everybody thinks we sucks. We can't win a game.
Oh, I didn't mock him. I think he might be lying
a
bit.
Yeah, but that
but
was
I
my
like
point.
Him. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, you'd be hard-pressed to find anybody who suggests they suck.
Yeah.
And yet, you hear guys like Max. You see that dope on NFL Network last night who we were talking about earlier.
Yeah,
James
yeah, yeah.
Jones is doing a breakdown of the advantages for the AFC Championship game and of the five or six categories that were there. He gave the Patriots one advantage.
Running backs.
That was running backs. He gave the Chiefs the advantage at quarterback, at receiver, catchers, at defense, and head coach.
Yeah, that's outrageous.
I'm going Andy Reid.
Yeah. Oh, why? I don't know what's more outrageous, the defense or the head coach?
Well, I suggested that Brady was making stuff up just for the sake of, you know, and I don't have an issue with that, by the way. That's fine.
Yeah, whatever
gets
you
motivated.
Yeah.
But the more I listen between last Sunday and this coming Sunday, the more I think he's not necessarily wrong.
They can kind of find it. But, I mean, Shannon Sharp said it the other day where he's just so sick of him. And that's what it comes down to, too. Like, that kind of really blurs your...
And that's fine. I mean, right. I actually do understand that. I really do.
Because I don't think Kellerman believes
it. If we weren't here, if we didn't live here,
yeah,
we'd be so sick of the Patriots.
You'd hate him. You'd want him to lose and like, get done. I want to see a different Super Bowl. I want to see a different AFC Championship game. Of course. But I think with Kellerman in particular, it's just he made this statement a while ago, and he's just sticking by it. And everybody else, or not everybody else, but a lot of other people that even if they believed it at the time, they're like, all right, well, there's too much evidence that he's not falling off. He's still great. And Kellerman so dug in that I can't even imagine he believes it. He's just going to see this to the end because there will be an end one day. And then
he's going to say, see, told you.
It won't make sense because it's going to be like 3 or 4 seasons after he said this will be his worst season and everything else. But if he makes it to the Super Bowl again, what can he can't do the he wasn't an MVP candidate because that was one of the things that he said.
Yeah,
that was one of the things that he said is that, well, I mean, he obviously came down a little bit. Well, yeah, he was the MVP a year ago. Now he's not going to be
not the MVP. No. So he has therefore come down a little bit.
But so if he beats the MVP this Sunday, what do you say? I mean, you're kind of running out of stuff.
He will at that point blame Andy Reid.
Yeah, probably. Depending on how it shakes out, that's true.
He will blame Andy Reid. Andy Reid's always had an issue with coaching in the big games.
Yeah.
You know, his game plan sucked, and you know, he won't blame Patrick Mahomes.
No, probably
he can throw
not.
5 interceptions. It'll be Andy Reid's fault, and the game plan's fault.
No, that's true because he can become a guy that you rip on. That's kind of safe. So yeah, it probably will be Andy Reid.
I'm going Andy Reid.
James Jones, this is the advantage. Check mark there. Like, I don't know how.
Imagine that for a minute. You're preparing a segment for NFL Network.
Yes.
And you're going to break down the advantages and disadvantages in several categories. I mean, the most ardent Patriot hater on the planet would have to give the Patriots the edge in coach, right?
I thought so.
I mean, isn't that one sort of self-evident?
Now, wasn't it, didn't we get this before, I want to say, in the NFL Network, before the Week 6 matchup? Wasn't it Maurice Jones-Drew, didn't he give the head coaching advantage? Now, I think it was him that did it. And because, you know, he beat him the year before. You know, the Chiefs obviously won the year before. I want to say that he did it. Do we
head
have
coach,
it?
You're up.
I'm going to go first. First of all, you know, Andy Reid, I appreciate you offering all those good things on Fridays, Junk Food Fridays. I got to go with you. But the reason being, not because of Junk Food Fridays, because...
Are you sure it's not because of Junk Food Fridays?
I went vegan, so it's not because of that.
Okay.
But it is because on week one and on bye weeks, Andy Reid is 26-10. He has a winning record. I know he's going against Bill Belichick, but I feel like Andy Reid always has, when he has extra time to prepare for a team, he knows how to pull out all the stops. I got to go with the Chiefs.
26-10, did you care to look up Bills?
No, I didn't.
He's 172-0.
Is it?
No, I'm just kidding. I don't know what it is, but I'll give you that one.
So that was that this year or was that last year?
Do we know that was last year?
That was last season. Yeah, right. Oh, so Mo Jones-Drew actually got the better of it because the Chiefs did win that game.
Exactly, but the Chiefs are coming off a bye this week.
But just because he gave them like Twinkies on Fridays doesn't mean he's the better coach.
Well, they were really tasty snacks.
He's like, oh, it was Fat Guy Friday? Like in this season?
I'm more of a Swiss cake roll guy.
Oh, sure, that's fine. Does that sound like a good idea as a head coach? Hey, Fridays, hey, eat whatever you want Fridays.
Handed out Drake.
We have a season to prepare for. The game is on Sunday. Yeah, burgers, fries, whatever you guys want.
Carbo loading.
Milkshake Fridays. That does not seem like a great plan. Like, if he wants to do it looks like that he is, God bless him. The players probably shouldn't be having junk food Fridays.
Wouldn't you like to have asked James Jones, okay, James, you now own an NFL team. You get to choose between Andy Reid and Bill Belichick as your coach. Who do you want?
Taking Reid.
He would not.
I would hope not.
He totally would not.
I would hope not.
And if he's trying to claim that he would, you'd flat out call him a liar and you'd be correct.
So I thought once I heard that, I'm like, did James Jones play for Andy Reid? And he didn't. He played for the Packers for 8 years and he had a season with Oakland. So not entirely sure why he's siding with Andy Reid there. That's odd.
It is, like we said before, it is the epitome of clickbait. It's you know, I'm going to give you my hot sports take. Nobody out there, it's like what the stuff Max Kellerman does.
But is it also
Shannon Sharp does, or any of the other ones out there whose hatred of the Patriots at this point is so ingrained and so irrational, to your point, they ain't never getting off that spot.
But to the point of, you know, Julian Edelman putting out the video and using the hashtag bet against us and Tom Brady saying everybody thinks we suck, is it more just that it's a vocal minority and, like, if you look for them, they're there? Or do you think it's more split? Like, when you think of both local and national media, I would think if every single person picked the game, last week, I think more people picked the Patriots probably. This week, maybe a little bit different, but they are on the road and they are true. They're underdogs in the game. But you're hard-pressed to find a lot of people that say Andy Reid better coach than Belichick or the Patriots aren't good anymore. Like that is, it's not a big group, but what you do is you highlight those two or three people. You say, well, look at this guy. And yeah, you might find one on ESPN. How many guys are talking about it on ESPN? Or the NFL Network, it's all day coverage. They have a million different, you know, analysts and hosts and all this other stuff. And I don't think it's a very high percentage.
So I'm going Andy Reid.
Yeah, good for you.
So Brady had a great game against the Chargers, leads the Patriots, helps lead the Patriots to a victory. And Max's point is, yeah, well, anybody could have thrown those passes. I mean, anybody. Look at the defense. Anybody could have done that.
Anybody.
So he goes into Kansas City, and he beats what we think will be the MVP of the league.
For sure.
Andy Reid and the Chiefs and home field and all of that. And he wins again. What does Max say next Monday?
Well, I guess.
Come on. It's somebody. Everybody could do that.
Maybe it depends. I mean, if Sony Michel has a big game, you could make the same case he did against the Chargers. Well, you know, you put any average quarterback there, and they find a way to win. Because the other thing that Max has done, and maybe we've spent too much time on Max, but what he's done is he sort of pivots to Belichick's the greatest. Because that's what you have to do. If you're getting pinned down, like if you don't like one of the two guys, like if for some reason you have a vendetta against either Belichick or Brady, what you end up doing is propping up the other one. You say, well, this guy's the reason why they've won, not this guy. And it's kind of hard to really lose that argument because we don't really know. We assume it's the combination of the two. But if you want to really hang your hat on that, I guess you can.
617-779-7937. Larry's in Duxbury. Hey, Larry.
Hi, guys. I think there's two things. First, it's one thing to say who you would pick. It's another who you would bet on if you had to bet.
That's a good point.
True.
And I think that there's a lot of haters who would like to see the Patriots lose another Super Bowl. That will carry a whole other thing against Brady if he loses a fourth. And so it's hard to... You hate him more when they win, but I think there's a lot of people that would like to see him go to another Super Bowl and not win.
Yeah, you know what? That's actually an interesting angle because a lot of these guys, they completely ignore conference championship games, hence the Joe Montana argument before.
Right.
So a loss in the Super Bowl, it's like guys get penalized. Wasn't Ben Volen one of those guys? I think on this station, Ben Volen was saying how, well, you'd rather be undefeated and have less Super Bowls than lose Super Bowls, which I think is insane.
The fact that Brady's 5-3 is some detriment to him as a Super Bowl quarterback.
So, but I think Larry might be onto something. The true Patriot haters would probably rather see Brady go to 5-4 in the Super Bowl. But you run the risk of him winning it, right? Like, so you'd probably rather just have him lose this weekend, but that's one sort of possible advantage you would have if you're trying to build your argument against Brady. Although then when you're like, wait a minute, so he's played 9 Super Bowls? Oh boy. Like it's hard to spin that negative.
And that's how I look at Tom Brady. Tom Brady is just about done.
Brady stinks. And the dynasty dies.
The New England Patriots are the NFL champions.
The Patriots win the Super Bowl. Brady has his fifth.
All I do is win, no matter what.
Philip Rivers is going to win the game.
30-27, Chargers win.
The game we circle is, oh, that was when this dynastic Brady-Belichick run ended.
And the route is on in Foxborough. The Pats are heading to Kansas City.
It's like when
Brady is headed back to Kansas City and looking for revenge.
You know, everyone thinks we suck and, you know, can't win any games, so we'll see.
Where America had him dead and buried 3 years ago.
The New England Patriots, let's face it, they're not good anymore.
Just 2 games away from his 6th Super Bowl ring. Listen to the game right here on your home of the GOAT.
That's like time for harder time.
Now back to Dale and Keith on Sports Radio WEEI.
Yeah, Molly, you can tell that some of the guys listen to Max and they watch First Take and they know what's being said about, you know, Max and his Cliff comments. And I don't want to tell Max to stick to boxing or anything like that because, I mean, you got a job to do, Max, and I understand you gotta talk about what you see. I just think you're struggling at your job a little bit.
Teddy!
I'm not struggling at my job. And the Patriots are talking about me.
Man, we've gone through losing streaks before. I lost 2-3 in a row. You struggle. It's okay. If you're in a losing streak, it's okay. Just admit sometimes when you're in the middle of a losing streak is okay too. That's all I'm saying. A little humility sometimes.
Well done, Teddy.
It's a great job by Teddy.
Appreciate you.
But it's actually a pretty good response by Max. He goes, am I really struggling at my job? The Patriots are talking about me. He's not wrong.
ESPN has what they call their Football Power Index, the FPI.
Oh, the FPI. I bet I know who the top four are.
Well, yeah. There are four teams, obviously, still in contention to win a Super Bowl. The team with the best chance to win the Super Bowl, according to the FPI.
Is it line up with Vegas?
Kansas City Chiefs.
No, it does not.
34%.
Interesting.
The second best chance to win the Super Bowl.
Saints?
The New Orleans Saints at 33%.
Oh, so super close with the two home teams. Makes sense.
The number three team, the LA Rams at 18%.
Oh, boy.
The number four team, the New England Patriots.
What's left? 17%?
15% chance to win a Super Bowl.
So you're telling
According
me
to ESPN's
a
Football Power Index.
Which is always right.
And here's the bottom line. All that stuff that Brady and Edelman and everybody's, you know, bet against us. Everybody thinks we suck, can't win a game.
Yeah.
I promise you, they're looking at stuff like this.
Oh, they
saying,
got that.
See?
You guys see what the FPI said?
There are four teams left.
Like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Conference championship weekend. ESPN says we have the worst chance of all of them to win a Super Bowl.
It's interesting. And on the Vegas odds, it's been going back and forth between the Rams and the Patriots. Like, some websites have the Patriots as the worst odds. Others have the Rams. Kind of going back and forth because the two games are both pretty similar. And clearly, I think Vegas views them as essentially pick'ems because both games, the home team is either favored by 3 or 3.5. So this is pretty compelling. Like, this isn't one of those ones where a team out of nowhere gets into the playoffs like at 9-7, wins a couple of games, and you're not really sure. These have been the best teams really for the most part all season long. I know the Patriots got off to a slow start, but it's still the Patriots. And then those other three teams have been pretty dynamic throughout the entire year. So yeah, add that to the pile for the bet against us, Julian Edelman Patriots.
And I'll add this to the pile.
Okay. We're getting a growing pile
There's here. A pile here. You know, all of which is my way of apologizing to Brady for his comments on Sunday
you should
after
apologize.
The game.
Just like Kyrie apologized to LeBron.
I will apologize because you know what? He might have been right. Manish Mehta, writing the New York Daily News today, the headline of the piece is Why Adam Gase's Jets Will End the Patriots' Evil Empire.
Oh, Manish. I mean, I know you got to write something. Does he believe this?
He writes, and I quote, the Jets will kill the Patriots dynasty. Yes, those Jets. So Bill Belichick and Tom Brady should revel in this oddly surprising run to the conference title game in Kansas City this weekend.
Wait, what?
I know. I don't
oddly
know why it's
surprising?
Oddly or surprising.
Why is it?
And soak up the moment whether or not they advance to the Super Bowl and know this. Sam Darnold and the Jets will take down the evil empire.
With eyeballs McGee? That guy's going to get it done? We think the space alien that got dropped down to the Jets press conference, he's going to end the run?
That guy.
And what's amazing is somebody on Twitter did the side-by-side. Manish Mehta has this article, and you read the headline. Mike Kliss, who's covered the Denver Broncos forever, he had an article because Gase went from Denver to Miami. And was obviously he was a coordinator in Denver. He was there when Peyton Manning had that unbelievable season. He goes to Miami. And this was 3 years ago, had the exact same article about why Gase and the Dolphins would end the evil empire. It was the exact same story. Now, this one, I don't know if it's going to be Darnold and Gase that end it, or just finally Brady
or just father
is too
time.
Old. Well, Brady's twice as old as Sam Darnold.
He says in here, Gase will have the best quarterback in the division for the next decade. Well, first of all, Gase will never be there for a decade. There is zero chance of him being with the Jets for the decade.
Do you think there will ever be a time, and I know we're kind of swept up in it and everything right now with Brady, but do you think there will ever be a time where Tom Brady and Sam Darnold are both playing in the division where Darnold is better than Brady?
No.
Because I don't think so either.
I only think Tom's got like two seasons left after this one.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I don't think Darnold's going to be better than him over the course of those two seasons.
And I think if Brady hung around for another one and Darnold, because I don't think Darnold sucks. I think his team really sucked. No, I know you're not. I'm just saying he had way more bad games than good games. But some of those good games, you saw something in them. So I think combined with Adam Gase, I'm not even ruling out Sam Darnold being a good NFL quarterback. I just think by the time Darnold is really good, Brady's probably out of the league anyway. So it's really not like, oh, the Jets toppled him. Like, will a Gase, because let's be honest, Rex Ryan, Mark Sanchez beat Bill Belichick and Tom Brady in a playoff game. Now, they didn't end the dynasty because they did that once. They had two really good years, and then they were done, gone, both out of the league at one point. But will Gase and Darnold ever make it further in the playoffs than Brady Belichick?
I don't believe so.
I have a hard time envisioning that. I really do.
Now, he points out that, you know, the Miami Miracle, the greatest play we've ever seen.
Yeah, that was nuts.
You know, that was Adam Gase was coaching that team. And with the Miami Miracle, he went 2-4 against Bill Belichick as the head coach of the Miami Dolphins.
Right. And Miami is
with the Miami Miracle.
I was going to say, and Miami has been a tough place to play, whether it was Dave Wannstedt, PC Principal. Like, didn't they lose to PC Principal, Dan Campbell? Like, it doesn't matter who the coach is. Going down to Miami has been tough. Now, Manish Mehta correctly points out, and we had already said this, he says, let's interject some common sense into the discussion. And then in all caps and in bold, talking about Brady, he said, he is 41 years old. So that's what it might come down to. Your quarterback was, what, 22 this year? Or is he 21? Like, he was the youngest quarterback in the league, Sam Darnold. So, yeah, eventually they should be able to overtake it. The question would be, is the next guy the Patriots get, is he going to be better, the same, or significantly worse than Sam Darnold?
Do the Jets better the Patriots next year? No.
Do they have a better record than them?
Yes. No. Are they better than the Patriots next year?
No. And there's one thing, maybe you steal a game from them, which I still wouldn't pick.
By the way,
right
one
now,
of the things Manish says they should do is steal Trey Flowers away from them.
They should.
They've got $99 million in salary cap
space. They should
space.
Do that.
They should weaken the Patriots, strengthen themselves, go out and sign Trey Flowers away from the Patriots.
But you know what they're going to do is they're going to spend so much money on Le'Veon Bell, then he's going to get hurt or something like that, and then they're going to be the classic Jets again. But yeah, they should take Trey Flowers away. They have a lot of money, so if they can spend it well, a lot of teams don't. A lot of teams that have had, I mean, the Redskins stand out more than any other team. Year after year, they would sign the top two or three free agents, and it would never work. So maybe the Jets do that, but yeah, I don't see it. I mean, so Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, and then we'll see what Miami ends up doing, and Brian Flores is going there. But next year,
According to Mel Kiper.
Yeah, Mel Kiper's got some interesting guys going in the AFC East. But I feel like it's still the Patriots division. I don't think anybody has really closed that gap. Maybe Gase and Darnold can be a good... I mean, that's where you got to start. You got to have a quarterback, you got to have a head coach. And maybe they think that combo is better than, you know, what you got up in Buffalo or what you have in Miami right now.
It is the time of year when the irrational hatred for the New England Patriots colors everything everybody writes, says, or does. And by the way, if you think it's bad this week, as I said, they win Sunday.
Oh, it's going to go up a notch.
Oh, for 2 weeks. I mean, it is going to be doom and gloom from coast to coast about the Patriots and Belichick and Brady and Gronk.
But think about it. If you're in New York right now and the Jets suck, the Giants suck, the Knicks suck, like what else you got to write about? You got to sort of say, all right, next year's the year. Like, you almost can't blame them. Like, think if the roles were reversed. And if the Patriots missed the playoffs once again, and the Jets were really good, even the Giants were in the playoffs, like, you'd probably be coming up with the same thing. Like, oh, wow. Darnold seems... Like, you could talk yourself into Sam Darnold more than you could Geno Smith or some of the other guys that they had in there. Like, Bryce Petty, Christian Hackenberg. Like, Sam Darnold at least seems like he could be a real NFL quarterback.
Well, it's what they're all hoping for, praying for. Yeah. They're all praying that this Patriots dynasty comes to an end. And by the way, I don't blame them. If I was living where they're living, if I was looking with their eyes in this direction, I would be praying that this thing ends.
One of the other things that he brings up, and we've hit on this throughout the year, and Manish Mehta talking about how the draft classes have not been very good for the Patriots.
Fair.
And that is fair, and that is something that could come back to bite them. Like, if you don't hit on some of these free agent signings, the few trades that you make, also some of the undrafted rookies, like, that's an important thing, and they've gotten good players there. But we're looking at the most recent drafts. You go back 4 or 5 years, the best guy is Trey Flowers, who may be gone. And then Sony Michel does look pretty good, but really the rest of that entire draft class this year was all on IR. Then you've lost a couple, or you traded away a first-round pick. You also lost a first-round pick. You've had some drafts where you really have no productive players or no meaningful players in those drafts. So that's another reason. The age of the quarterback, I guess even the age of the head coach if you want to include it. And then you put into the fact, oh, how many of these young guys are really turning into star players? That should be recipe for another team to finally win the division, but I don't know. I don't feel confident betting on the Jets, Bills, or Dolphins.
Now, there's a texter who says Trey Flowers looks like the typical Patriots player who plays great here, goes somewhere else, and then does nothing. I think he's going to be good. I think Trey Flowers is going to be good. Chandler Jones was still really good when he went to Arizona.
He led the league in sacks last year, didn't he?
Yeah. I mean, Chandler Jones did not fall off the face of the planet, and Trey Flowers isn't going to either. In fact, his numbers likely will go up, his measurable numbers, simply because he'll be allowed to do more than he's allowed to do here, where it's a very game plan specific thing. And I mean, there is no doubt in my mind his sack totals are hurt by what they're asking him to do here.
Chandler Jones last season had 17 sacks, which led the league, and he was all pro. This season, he had 13 sacks. That team was also terrible, but Chandler Jones, I think Trey Flowers is different in the sense that some of the other guys that have left New England, it wasn't right after their rookie deal. And so I think they were closer to the end of their careers anyway. You know, if you look back at some of the receivers from days gone by or whoever you want to put out there, but that's kind of a misnomer. Like Richard Seymour was still an all-pro pro bowler with the Raiders. We were talking about Ty Law before in that article that he wrote. He led the league in picks 1 year that he was gone. Asante Samuel led the league in picks, I think his first year in Philly. So guys have left and played well, and I think Trey Flowers would absolutely do that. He's 25 years old.
He's going to be terrific. By the way, I was just looking at Sam Darnold's numbers, and again, the Jets are not a very good team. That's why they fired their coach, all of that stuff. I understand all that. He finished the year with a quarterback rating of 77.6. The team was 4-9 in the 13 games that he played in. You know, he had 17 touchdowns and 15 interceptions. The interceptions, I don't necessarily blame on the team being bad. I'd probably blame more of those on his decisions being bad, and as a young quarterback, those things happen. But the idea that we just assume, now Manish Mehta is already convinced Sam Darnold is the next great thing in quarterback play in the NFL. He might be.
He could be. I'd still rather have Baker Mayfield. If you're looking at this past draft, I'd rather have Baker than Sam Darnold. But the key for them, their offensive line needs to be better. They need to get a couple of guys for him to throw to. Like that's just not a very talented team at all. So it put the quarterback in a really tough spot. But you can't write him off after that year. There's a lot of guys. There's Hall of Fame quarterbacks that go pull up their stats their rookie year. They're pretty terrible, but it helped them really improve for year two and the rest of their careers.
Patriots are an underdog, which, by the way, doesn't happen very often in the Tom Brady era anyway, but they are an underdog. They'll probably still be an underdog Sunday, although the number may shift a little bit.
I think it's 3.5 still. I think that's what we're looking at.
Basically is a pick'em game, right? Home team
pretty
gets
much.
Three anyway,
saying,
so it's basically a pick 'em, but technically they're the underdog. Technically, ESPN says they got the fourth best chance out of the four remaining teams to win a Super Bowl, and not that great a chance, by the way, only 15%. If Tom Brady thinks that a lot of folks were picking against them last weekend, and they were, he's going to get an even larger number this weekend picking against
them. If they win Sunday, do you think they'd be the underdog in either Super Bowl matchup? Because I think they would be.
Yes. Yeah, they'll be right. The underdog. Again, I think they kind of cherish and relish this underdog role. They're sure making enough out of it.
Now, you throw
Julian
out
Edelman bet against us.
Yeah, he loves it. Loves it. And they probably hope that they are the underdog. It's a little bit easier to have that motivation. It is. You saw the Eagles use it all last year on their way to a Super Bowl. But I think they would be. And now you throw out the 3 points for the home team, obviously, in the Super Bowl. But I would imagine that the NFC, I feel like it's been just a little bit better over the course of the year. I think these two teams, particularly in the NFC, have been your top teams. And then the Chiefs and the Patriots and the Chargers are sort of after that. So I would imagine, now, unless the Patriots beat the Chiefs by like 30 points and the NFC game is kind of sloppy, then maybe. But if it's, you know, kind of a normal game on both sides, I think they probably would be underdogs 2 weeks in a row. Which you'd probably have to go back forever
for
that
2001 or something.
Super Bowl would probably open up at like 3.5 in favor
for
of the NFC
team.
No matter who's in it,
That would be
my
guess.
Yeah. That's what I think.
Well, he's our gambling guy.
He is our. He got it. He sniffed out another lock on the board last week.
He won us money last week.
Keith made fun of me for my tees last week. That's what bailed me out.
The tees hit.
But let's be honest, he didn't have a great week.
No, 1-for-3, but I'm still.
No, that's just bad.
But Dale, the lock
still
came
5-3 in the playoffs.
We came up with the lock.
No, Shine did. Shine did. We agreed to it.
You said you agreed with me.
Shine was seeing the board really well after Wild Card Weekend, and so Shine said, "You know what, guys? I got another lock for you." And he threw out under Chiefs Colts, which a lot of people would say outrageous. They would say these are two of the best offenses. What are you guys doing? But we believed in our guy. We agreed as a group. Steve DiAssi is going to be in tomorrow with our winnings. Probably a pizza party is what I would assume.
I did not agree to that part of it.
What do you want? Pepperoni?
Cold hard
what do you
cash. Want? I wanted money.
Dale can take his $20.
We decided it was about $18 a piece or something.
Yeah, something around those lines. Not the highest stakes, but still, it was good to have some skin in the game. The question is, what's the bet for the weekend? We got to come up with one tomorrow. We got to roll this over, I think.
I'll do a lot of research tonight.
Good.
You can bet it.
Look for a lock on the board, Shime. I know you'll come
I
up
got
with
you.
One. But it can't be Chiefs -3.
I said in the aftermath of us winning last weekend, this is how bad habits start.
Well,
you win your first bet, and now
but
you're...
But, Dale, we're on a heater. Yeah, you can't quit on a heater.
We're absolutely on a heater.
Until you're not on a heater anymore, and then you wish you had quit.
That could happen. But what the thrill of the win last week was exhilarating. Now, we can't bet Chiefs -3 because we're all going to be rooting for the Patriots.
We can't do that. I will not bet on the Chiefs.
So we're not. I understand. We're not doing that. But anything else on the board? Although, even over-under in the Pats Chiefs game, I don't think I want to do that because I'm going to be so into the game anyway. I don't need to bet on the game. We probably need something Rams Saints.
So I read a crazy stat about the over-under on the Patriots Chiefs game.
What's that?
Last 8 over-unders to move more than, I believe, 2 points.
Yes.
The under has won 7 out of 8 times.
Oof.
And the other time,
you're saying
it was
under.
A push.
You're saying under.
I'm saying
Chiefs.
Big under.
Big under.
Listen to him. What happened to him? I'm going to do a lot of research tonight. All of a sudden, now
he's got it.
Big under.
He's got it.
I have the research.
Go with your research. Go with your instincts.
Kansas City hasn't allowed a 30-point performance at home.
You can't say got a hunch, bet a bunch.
Yes,
he's betting our money.
No, I know. It's our money. Our money.
We'll get Steve's opinion on
this.
But game
time temps, it's not going to be a feels like one.
No, it's going to be like 23, 22. Yes. Probably feels like a 15.
That smells like the over to me. You're still saying
I don't know.
Under.
I think we're going to have a heavy run game.
I say we dive deep into the player props.
I'm in on player props.
Player props, Dale. That's where the sweet money is.
Sweet money.
Over under for Sony Michel or something. That's what we want to do. Well, we'll have to pull up the old betting book.
We can't have a player prop on a Chiefs player, right?
Unless we do under.
Unless we did under.
Yeah, we could do
we
under.
We can't sit here and root for.
Or you do over Patrick Mahomes picks.
Yeah, Tyreek, go!
What about over picks for Mahomes?
Over missed field goals for Harrison Butker?
Oh, well, that's not a bad one. That sounds like fun.
You guys are.
We're going to come up tomorrow.
Both degenerates.
4 hours on this tomorrow.
No.
Tune in to Peter Dale.
617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.